Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Welcome, friends. This is Bishop Michael Sheridan, and on today's program, we're going to be discussing Catholic media, and in particular, the Catholic press, the Catholic newspaper that is delivered to most Catholic households in our Diocese of Colorado Springs and in other dioceses from the bishop every week or every 2 weeks, depending on the publication schedule. And I'm joined today by the editor of the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs, Bill Howard. Bill is also, of course, the producer of this program, so he's usually here with me in our little studio helping to move things along. Today he will be part of our discussion of the importance, the role of the Catholic press, the Catholic newspaper in particular, in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and in enabling the bishop of the diocese to reach the many thousands of Catholics in his care. So welcome, Bill. But before I begin my discussion with Bill, I just want to put a little plug in for the fact that here in the Diocese of Colorado Springs, on the weekend of May 21st and 22nd, that's next weekend, Catholics throughout our diocese are going to be asked by their pastors, who have been asked by me, if they would be so kind as to make a one-time for this year donation of $5 to help subsidize our wonderful Catholic newspaper, the Colorado Catholic Herald. As Bill probably will explain in the course of our conversation today, it's very, very expensive to produce a quality newspaper of any kind. And although we have some wonderful advertisers and our advertisers are growing in number, we really do rely on a little help from those of you who are in a position to just give $5 this year to help subsidize the paper. So there's my plug, Bill. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And why don't we start just by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your history in journalism. It's a brief history because you're not very old, but I'll let that to you. Go ahead, Bill. Fill us in.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bishop. It's definitely an honor to be, I guess, on the other side of the glass, so to speak. Thanks for giving us a chance to talk about the Herald, and I can share a little bit about my own journey to the Catholic press. It's been one of a faith conversion as well. And thank you also for saying I don't look that old. I graduated from University of Scranton in 1991, and I was at the time sports editor of the university paper, and I started out for a few years in sports journalism, secular sports journalism, kind of worked my way up the ladder covering high school sports and then getting into college and dabbling a little bit with some pro teams. I grew up in New Jersey, so that's pretty much where I came back and started out my journalism career.
You did this after you graduated from college also?
Yes. Yeah, I spent about 5 years in secular sports journalism, and that was my passion. 1996, I had been working at a startup magazine for college sports. It was some friends of mine had tried to create a college sports magazine that was going to try to rival Sports Illustrated but focus on colleges. And that was my first experience of learning just how competitive it could be, the business can be. And after about 2.5 years, the magazine folded, and I found myself wondering what to do with my journalism career. And at that time, I had some family members who moved to Dallas, and they encouraged me to come down there. So I thought, well, I'll come down for a little while just while I try to discern what I want to do with my life. And I was, you know, about 25 at the time. And while I was down there, I decided, well, I think I'll stay a little bit longer, but I needed a little bit of income to kind of keep me going. I found that there was an opening down at the Dallas Diocese paper, Texas Catholic. They were looking for a part-time writer to help out, and so I decided to do that. And I mean, it took me not even a month of working there that I realized that the Catholic press was really where my heart lied. I grew up in a very encouraging and strong Catholic family, and so the faith was always important to me. And I guess I realized then that was something that always, when I was doing my secular journalism, it was always hard. We couldn't really print much about the faith aspect of things, even though athletes would talk about it. So I was discerning as I started to do some writing for the Texas Catholic that this seemed to be the perfect marriage of the gifts that I believe God has given me in journalism, and being able to write about things I love to write about, but also not have to put the faith aspect aside. So that led into a full-time job at the Texas Catholic, and I stayed there until 2005. Got to do some pretty amazing things while there. Got to go to Poland and Rome when John Paul II passed away, and covered the mourning in Poland for a week right after he died. Then from there, I got to go on to Rome and cover the conclave, and like to thank my editor, Bronson Havard, there, who really gave me a lot of incredible opportunities and confirmed to me that this is where I wanted to take my life. And then in 2005, I learned that the Catholic Herald here in Colorado Springs was revamping and retooling, and there was an opening for an editor. And at that point, I realized I felt that that was the next step for me too. So, kind of threw my hat in a ring and just remain appreciative that you brought me on board. And it's really been a dream here. I mean, it's every editor's dream to be able to take a paper and kind of really mold it and take some chances and mold things into his or her idea of what they think a good diocesan paper can be. And you certainly have given me that chance.
Well, just so listeners are clear, you said it was in 2005 that it was kind of a new incarnation of our diocesan newspaper here.
Yes.
The newspaper had existed, I think, from the beginning of the diocese, back in 1984, but it was published as a monthly newspaper, obviously a lot less expensive to do that, but certainly, in my opinion, did not allow us to be very timely. In my own mind, a weekly is the ideal, but we're not quite there yet. But I thought mm-hmm. we had to at least publish twice a month to in any way stay current. So that was one of the biggest changes that came about. And I certainly want to say, Bill, that since you have taken over and in the years since we've been publishing now with a slight name change, it used to be called the Catholic Herald. Now we call it the Colorado.
Yeah, we learned there was probably about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 Catholic Heralds across the country. So
it's a common name for newspapers. Being from St. Louis, I remember that the diocesan newspaper there years ago when it was established was called the St. Louis Register, and I think it was somewhere in the early 50s that the name was changed to the St. Louis Review, from the Register mm-hmm. to the Review. And up until the time I left St. Louis 10 years ago, there were still Catholics who called it the Register. I think once a name gets in people's heads, it's hard to get it out. So I'm glad we stayed with something that sounded like the Catholic Herald. We just added Colorado to it. And
a little more local ownership of it.
Right, yeah. Right. But it is a fine newspaper, and any number of people have commented on that to me. So thanks for all that good work.
Well, Bishop, if I can just quickly,
sure.
I just wanted to, as we were talking about Herald history, I just wanted to briefly mention a few names of people that have really helped us, both before I arrived here to kind of set the foundation and also helped us build to where we are today. And first, folks are the Parings, John and Joanne Paring, who are members of the diocese here. They're the ones who founded the paper back in the day when it was an insert in the Denver Catholic Register for a couple of years before the diocese was created. And they got the Catholic Herald going. And then since I've been here, I wanted to just acknowledge a few people who are no longer on our staff, but have been played key parts. And one of them is Jim Myers, who is assistant editor and news writer from our relaunch in 2005 until 2010. Jim immediately brought a level of professional journalism to our paper that really helped us make an immediate impact on the diocese. Advertising, we had Gay Burrell and Mary Teresa Thomas and Chris Reynolds over the last 5 years. And currently we have John Koenig, who will be joining us a little bit later. Editorial assistant, you know, Esperanza Griffith, who I'm sure probably quite a few listeners know who she is. And she's now, she was with us for 4 years or so, and now is with Bishop Sheridan here in his office. And we had Becca Grove and Veronica Ambule also in that position. Veronica now is assistant editor, and she'll join us in the next segment as well. And currently, Marie Van Riemortel is helping us as this editorial assistant, and she's just been incredible too. And also our graphic designer, Dave Kotler, who is a member of Corpus Christi Parish, and he's just, it's a real blessing because he has a really huge clientele. You know, they include the U.S. Olympics, and he's made a lot of sacrifices to offer his time to help us. And a lot of the reason the paper looks the way it does is because of Dave's vision. So I just wanted to quickly just acknowledge everybody.
And
there,
as always, we should thank our advertisers.
Yes.
They really make it possible for this.
Yes, they've embraced us
to exist.
And also just a lot. We have a lot of parishioners in our diocese who also have writing skills who freelance for us either with news stories or commentaries. So I think we've got to a point where the Herald really is becoming a good representation of the talent and gifts we have in the diocese.
Right. Well, a little later, I want you to tell us about some of the awards that the newspaper has won in its few years of existence now. But before that, I think it might be helpful for our listeners to know something about the unique nature of what is known in just about every diocese, I think, the official Catholic newspaper. There's all sorts of Catholic publications out there, newspapers and magazines, and some of them are good, maybe some not so good. Some have a reputation of being rather reliable in conveying things Catholic, in representing the faith well. Others maybe not such a good reputation for doing that. But it's important as a bishop that there be a publication that is really mine, if you will. And that's why you read in there that I'm the publisher of the newspaper, because I want to make sure that when this lands at the doorstep or in the mailbox, I should say, of all of our Catholic households of record, that what they're going to be reading is a good representation of Catholic teaching, of what's going on in the Catholic world. I mean, neither Bill nor I have the gift personally of infallibility. It doesn't mean we can't make a mistake, you know, in the newspaper, and we try to offer an apology in print if we miswrite or misspeak. But anyway, this is the official publication, and I'm confident that any Catholic who picks this newspaper up is going to know what's going on, primarily locally, but also throughout the world. So with that, Bill, we're going to have to take a little break, as you well know, being the producer, and we will be back in a moment.
The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. Today on our program, we're talking about the Catholic Press, and even more specifically, the Colorado Catholic Herald, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs. And as bishop, it's really my principal vehicle for making sure that what I believe the Catholics in our diocese should be informed about, should know, it happens through the Herald. Now, of course, there are many other media. There's the one right now that you're listening to, Catholic Radio. There's Good Catholic Television. There are other kinds of print publications, some reliable, some not so reliable. It's the Colorado Catholic Herald that we're talking about today, and I've been visiting with Bill Howard, who is the editor, and now we're joined by Veronica Ambuhl, who is Bill's assistant editor. Welcome, Veronica. I know that you also have a background. Bill was talking about his background in the secular press before he came to Catholic newspapers, and you have a rather distinguished background. You have a journalism degree from Northwestern University, correct?
That's right, Bishop, the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern, which is, you know, considered one of the top journalism schools in the country, and has a close connection to the Chicago Tribune newspaper, you know, out of Chicago.
So that's where you went to school, but you also, what's your background in secular press?
When I was in journalism school, I did an internship at the Bradenton Herald in Florida, which is part of the Knight Ridder chain. And then once I got out of journalism school, I worked for a couple community newspapers in the Chicago area. And then I actually for most of the time before I left the workforce, I worked for a financial publishing company. So I kind of, you know, did a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But
did you report on religious news on the Catholic Church for the secular media?
Not specifically about the church per se. For the most part, I never had, you know, like a religion beat or anything like that. But there was one story that will always stick in my mind, you know, being a Catholic. When I was working for the Daily Northwestern, which was the student newspaper, it was an award-winning paper, very well done, and it was a daily paper. There was a story that I covered as the health reporter about a professor at Northwestern who was being sued by women who had used a birth control device that caused absolutely terrible, horrific complications. And it stuck with me because I thought, you know, in a sense, I really wish I could have delved more into the church's teaching about just why, you know, contraception is wrong and everything like that. And I guess that was the first time I really became, in a sense, aware of how in the secular media you can't always, you don't always feel like you can tell the full truth about issues that are out there.
You're right, Veronica. As you were speaking, I can remember back to 1968 with the publication of Pope Paul VI's Humani Vitae, which I think we had the English title on the authentic regulation of birth. And I remember then how many of the Catholics that I knew got their information, their sense of what that great encyclical was about by looking at a couple of paragraphs in Time magazine. Now, nothing against Time magazine, but I think when our Catholics begin to get their religion from Time and Newsweek,
yes,
there is a definite place and a definite need for something else. I'm not saying Time was incorrect, but the only thing Time could make out of the whole thing was, you can't contracept. End of discussion. Nothing about what this is all about. People generally don't like to hear just a message of don't do that, especially if there's nothing presented as a reason for not doing that. And there we were. I sometimes think priests and bishops might have gotten their information about Humani Vitae by reading Time magazine, too. So there's a big difference. I want to let you go on, and you and Bill go on and talk a little bit about how you see the importance and the uniqueness of not just what I would call Catholic publications, but a diocesan newspaper that comes out from the bishop.
Yes. Well, kind of picking up on your point there, Bishop, you know, one of the reasons why I love being part of the Catholic press is that, you know, like you said, whenever some church teachings are discussed in a secular arena, there is no history given behind it. There's no sense of serious discernment. It's just, this is what they say, and it comes across very confrontational. One of the joys I find in the Catholic press, and hopefully this is something that readers get from the Herald, and, you know, we do have to sometimes report unfortunate news, but for the most part, we really want to try to get across the beauty of the church teachings and why the church teaches what it does, and that the authentic Catholic life that we try to just give glimpses of in the Herald, you know, as much as we can do in 48 pages a month, that it's beautiful and it's inspiring. These days, it seems like you really can't get, in terms of periodicals that are out there, you don't get that in secular periodicals, and even in some Catholic ones. But, you know, we hope that the Herald can be a light.
One of the things that we all have to contend with in any of the media that we listen to, even the secular media, is this whole business of bias, whether it's a political bias, a religious bias. It doesn't mean that every reporter or every writer has an axe to grind, but it's important to know where they're coming from. And I think in not a few cases in publications that say they are Catholic, or at least have Catholic in their title, they could at times be terrible screeds against the very church that supposedly they're representing. And if there isn't a certain amount of sophistication on the part of readers about that, well, they say, well, look, the Catholic's up at the top of this newspaper. I must be getting the truth about the Catholic Church, about the Catholic faith. And not necessarily true, right?
You can correct me if I'm wrong, and then I'll turn this over to Veronica in a second here. But I do sense that some Catholic publications can fall prey to the same kind of temptations of, I don't know if it's anti-authority or just kind of relativistic thoughts or political correctness, where, you know, at least with the Herald, you know, we assume that there's, when we're discussing issues, that we're dealing with people, you know, our readers have a church-formed conscience. And I think, and there's some other Catholic publications where that gets split to where there's the church magisterium here and my conscience over there, and there's a disconnect. And then the magisterium, what just gets relegated to just one of many different possible opinions on the topic. So if people want to know what's going on with how should we deal with contraception, then, you know, it's no longer starting with the magisterium's position. It's just kind of surveying what everyone's saying, and the magisterium is just one voice. And I think that's really hurt the church. That's one reason why the Herald tends to have a little more of a catechetical bend to it, because we feel that there needs to be more reminding of that. But
Veronica, before we get back to you, what are the biases, I guess, that at least American secular media has? I don't know if bias is the right word, but it's our culture. We live in a democratic society. There is a sense that whatever we do, whatever we think, in the end, whatever we call the truth, should be a matter of majority opinion. That's how our country operates. We vote on things. We try to do what most people in our country think we ought to do. And when that way of thinking changes, well, then we go in a different direction. And over and over again, I think we've seen the secular media approach Christianity or Catholicism in particular that same way. Why don't we change our teaching on birth control if, in fact, we could do a survey to find out that most Catholics want us to do that, right?
Yeah.
I guess, theoretically, if most Catholics decide Jesus isn't God, we should change our teaching on that, too. But, of course, our bias, if you will, our context is, no, the truth of our faith does not arise from below or from majority opinion. It's revealed by God. Mm-hmm. We're bound in that sense to the revelation of God and to expressing letting people know as best we can what that revelation is, but we're obedient to that, not obedient to public opinion.
Well, Bishop, it's funny because Pope Benedict pretty much said the exact same thing in his address to the...
Well, I'm glad I'm on the same page with the Pope.
Yes. Yes. Well, I know you don't need me to affirm you, but it really caught my, you know, reading through this, his talk, it really jumped out at me.
Who is this a talk to, Veronica?
Participants in the Congress organized by the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, and it took place in October of 2010. And, you know, he says here, I guess this was kind of as the council was wrapping up, or the Congress, but he says, you know, that basically, you know, our modern media has a lot of very positive benefits, but one of the kind of pitfalls is that it can give life to a virtual world with various consequences. The first of these is a risk of indifference to the true. And then he goes on to say that it can actually kind of create a virtual world, you know, where people just kind of... and again, I think it does kind of go back to this disconnect between, you know, my faith, but then there's this outward persona that I have to project, you know. And I really witnessed that, again, going back to journalism school. You know, sometimes people think the problem is that there aren't any Catholics in the media. However, looking back, and I'm dating myself, but when I was, I think, a senior in college, it was the presidential election when Michael Dukakis was running for president. And, of course, he was, you know, pro-abortion. Now, our newspaper had an editorial board that, you know, made an endorsement. 8 out of the 10 people on that editorial board were Catholic, but yet they came out in favor of Dukakis. And I think, again, it goes to this idea that, well, yes, I have this private faith, but it can't impinge on what I say, you know, in an article or, you know, in covering a story. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the problem isn't really so much a lack of Catholics, but a little bit of this almost like a schizophrenic mentality.
You know, and that could lead us into an interesting discussion, which we will continue when we come back. Stay with us.
The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. I've been visiting with Bill Howard, who is the editor of the Colorado Catholic Herald, and until she had to leave just a moment ago, Veronica Ambuhl, who is the associate editor of the newspaper. Is she off chasing down a story, Bill? What?
Actually, she is off picking up one of her children from school.
She even actually, more important. All right.
What makes her story interesting, a little more interesting, is that she actually was a stay-at-home mom for, I want to say, 13 or 14 years, and she joined us as an editorial assistant, and little did she know that as soon as we saw Northwestern on her back in her background that we were going to try to see if she still remembered her journalism skills, and she did, and she's actually just an incredible writer and a real gift. So yeah, she had to leave a little early.
But Bill, I wanted to ask you, you're the one really finally respond. Well, I guess I am, but I pretty well rely on you for putting the newspaper together. Some of the newspapers that I look at from other dioceses, many of them are very good, but I guess each one has its own editorial mark on it. What do you think makes for a good diocesan newspaper?
The primary goal is to show the good news going on in our diocese. And so local news coverage is always a huge part. However, I guess I just felt that you hear all the time about how Catholics are not getting good formation anymore as kids, and they're growing up and having to learn about their faith at later ages. And so I just felt that that maybe we could have a little bit more of a mix, a balance of commentary and kind of more catechetical reflection type pieces that'll appeal more generally. If you go through the Herald, you'll see we have a decent amount of diocese pages. We usually have about 6 or 7 pages of diocese news. One of our latest developments to try to highlight more the different corners of our diocese is we try to have at least a couple of briefs for every deanery. So whether you're out, if you're up north in Parker, or if you're out in Leadville, or out east in Stratton, you can open the Herald and hopefully you can find something from your area that shows that the church is alive and doing good things. We do have quite a bit of commentary, and I do like to brag to folks that a lot of our editorial is locally produced, so we have a lot of incredible, really professional, top-notch writers who help us either covering news stories or writing commentaries. You know, one of them is Father Michael O'Donnell down in Catholic Charities, writes a monthly family column, and he's a widely published author from major book publishers, very respected around the country, and here he is writing a column for us, specifically for us, and we have a lot of that. Some of the more popular pages too. Also, we have a big calendar section that helps people know what's going on. I think there's a major, a couple of the unique pages. We do have a Gospel of Life page, which at the time I didn't know if any papers really had that, but it was really, I just felt that needed to be an emphasis. And that page will cover anything from theology of the body type issues to bioethics. Father Tad Boholchik writes a column every month that's really popular. So that's a big one. And also we have a Colorado page. We try to have a Colorado page that shows a little bit more of what's going on in Pueblo and Denver too. So we can all kind of stay connected in within the state. So
you may notice this more than I do, Bill, from looking at newspapers from other dioceses, but it seems to me that, and there's one that I'm a little bit familiar with, it seems to me that diocesan Catholic newspapers seem to be moving a little bit more toward covering the local church, the church in their diocese, which is, well, there's a balance, obviously, that has to be maintained. We want to pay attention to what the Pope is saying and what the Pope is doing. In other words, what's going on in the universal church that is important. That has to be balanced against what is, of course, interest to our readers in a particular way, what's going on in the Diocese of Colorado Springs. Those are two levels of news.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said, the catechetical dimension, those news stories also have their own teaching quality to them. But then there are those that really explicitly present the church's teaching on a particular subject, which we think is important. And in fact, I wanted to comment, one of the things that I think is makes the diocesan newspaper, any diocesan newspaper, indispensable in the midst of all of the other media, like Catholic radio that we're on now, is that I can be sure that the diocesan newspaper is placed in the mailbox of mm-hmm. every Catholic household that we know of. Now, I can't guarantee that every Catholic reads it. I would hope that there's at least a stab at it.
Or at least pass it on.
At least I know it's there. And that way, if there are certain messages, teachings, covering of news about the church that I think is important, I know that at least people have it there, and it's very easy for them to get to it. So that's why of course, there was a time when that was it. The Catholic newspaper was it. That was the only tool mm-hmm. of communication. Now, with television and radio and a number of other print publications, it could be seen as one among many, and it is, but it's unique. It's unique mm-hmm. in that sense, and I think pretty, if not every bishop, a number of bishops make sure that it does get into every Catholic household, which brings me back to what I plugged in the first segment of our show today, and that is the fact that we're asking Catholics next weekend if they would just dig into their pockets for a $5 bill to help subsidize the Herald, because in sending it to every household, we don't always ask for subscription price from every household. Our parishes as such, our pastors help to subsidize that too, but with the cost of things today, it's getting pretty pricey. So if we could rely on the goodness of our Catholics out there to help us with just a $5 bill next weekend, and I'm sure your pastors will tell you how to make that available to us. I think it would. It would help a great deal. So with that plug in again, Bill.
Yeah, actually, if I could just add something real quick to that. We have probably close to half of our budget we're able to raise the funds ourselves through advertising and special projects. And one of our goals has always been to keep growing in that area. And one of the ways that this campaign helps that. It allows that money that the diocese may subsidize us to be used for other ministries in the diocese as well, and so we consider advertising and our special project and other revenue producing projects like our diocesan directory book. We consider that part of a good stewardship mentality too. So,
well, even though Veronica Ambule had to leave us for other things, we're joined now by John Koenig. John is the newest member of our Colorado Catholic Herald staff as advertising manager. But John is not new to Catholic media.
Not so much. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you, Bill, for inviting me in today. No, the station that you are hearing this program on,
KFEL,
and of course KPIO in the north of Denver will also hear this at some point. I don't know exactly what your schedules are anymore, but I used to very well, as I used to be the station manager for the two stations here in Colorado. I did spend about 5 years in Catholic media, studied communication at the University of Cincinnati. It wasn't something I really intended to fall into. I was more interested in electronic media, say recording, production of multimedia, video, and primarily audio. I really loved music, really loved recording music, and ended up in the communication department that had more of a theoretical basis to it. And so that, I think, really led me to wanting to do something more, to work with the efficacy of different programs that I think Catholic Radio did and obviously the Catholic Herald does here in the Diocese of Colorado Springs. I mean, I really do believe that we do a great service in keeping people in touch and bringing the good news, as Bill mentioned earlier, to folks with a local touch to it. I mean, I guess globally there's a lot that you can do. You know, there's a lot of sources, like you mentioned, Bishop. There's a lot of places you can get your news. But locally, I really think this is it as far as the Catholic here in the Diocese of Colorado Springs in Southern Colorado. So we're very proud about that. And you know, people say a lot, newspaper is a dying thing. It's a dying industry. It's a dying it's not going to survive.
Well, and there are newspapers that have not survived. Yeah.
But I was looking at some numbers just a couple days ago, and I realized that over the past 5 years, our circulation has actually grown by 5%. And so I really think that that's an interesting thing. And I brought a few numbers here. You know, I went home for lunch yesterday, and you remember, well, as this airs, earlier in the week, we had a little ice storm, so kind of snow and some a little mixed with some rain. And, you know, I'm walking into the house, and everything's fine. And I come out, and I see the yard is covered with ice. And there's our Wednesday copy of the Gazette in its bag being kind of soaked. Now, I'm not disparaging their delivery system, but what I am saying is we're the largest publication in Colorado Springs. It is delivered directly to your door, and you're directly to your mailbox, in your mail slot, and you don't have to worry about trudging through, you know, the snow, the rain, the elements. And as an advertising manager, as my perspective there, I know that there's, you know, apartment complexes. I have to kind of laugh because we do have a picture of this, and I'm trying to work it into something where a lot of the other direct mail, a lot of the other advertising that comes to a house, it's a photo of a trash can, one of these like 55-gallon drum-sized trash cans, just practically full of discarded circulars, discarded advertisements, discarded things. And, you know, so where is your advertising dollar going? You know, I like to think that maybe you could consider as kind of a Trojan horse as an advertiser, just because we do get your message in the door. And our circulation is, it's pretty large, actually. We have about 30,000. Our readership is about 69,000. The latest numbers that I've seen indicate that the independent, which you only pick up at the local retailers, has a circulation of under 40,000. And, of course, the Gazette being the largest publication in town. But we don't know for sure the future direction that they're going. And, again, it's not to speak poorly of either of those publications, but if you put it into context, we're reaching a lot of people, and we can guarantee that we're going to reach those people. So from an advertising perspective, I think that that's a big something that people should be attracted to with the Colorado Catholic Herald.
After we come back from this next break, I'd like to talk to both of you, Bill and John, and I think we may even have an example of this in our current issue of how good Catholic press at least helps Catholics to understand how to integrate their faith with their life, their daily life, or with what's going on in the world, how to understand that, how to put that all together. So we will we'll take up that discussion, at least for a few minutes, after this short break.
ColoradoCatholicHerald.com is the website of the award-winning Colorado Catholic Herald newspaper. For the latest Catholic news, both at home and around the world, log on to ColoradoCatholicHerald.com. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back to our discussion about the Catholic media, Catholic press in particular, and even more particularly, the Colorado Catholic Herald. Before we have to wrap up our program today, though, I wanted to have John and Bill, John Koenig with us now as advertising manager, and Bill Howard, of course, as editor of the Herald, reflect with me a little bit on how the Catholic press, and especially what we would call the official Catholic newspaper of a diocese, which I think doesn't automatically make it a great paper, but I think it makes it a fairly reliable vehicle for getting the word of God out there and in a reliable manner. And what I'd like to talk just for a few minutes about is how the Catholic press can help Catholics to integrate their faith with their everyday life, to help them to understand how they should appropriate to themselves what's going on in the world. Let me give you an example. Not long ago, I was talking with a priest from New York City. He lives across the street from Grand Central Station. And on the night that it was announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed, he was awakened, or at least brought to the window of his rectory, because of the crowds cheer. It was like New Year's Eve, cheering in the streets of Manhattan outside of Grand Central Station, in a way that, well, to put it mildly, he found a bit unseemly, you know. Great. Our for sure, bin Laden is, was a cruel person. We know that. But I notice also in the current issue of the Herald, we have a story about the death of Osama bin Laden. And we can't tell people how to react, but we can help them to reflect on how, as Christians, how as Catholics, do we greet an incident like that?
Yes, well, that was an interesting internal debate about how to approach that news in our paper. A lot of secular papers approached it from very patriotic angles. One of the ways that we do think that the Herald is vital and should be on your radar when you're trying to interpret news is because it allows us to take another opinion, which we believe is a Catholic opinion. We don't think that our faith is something we we turn on and off when we need it. It's something that we should be living a fully integrated Catholic life 24/7. Therefore, whenever this kind of news comes about, we should be looking at it as to how, as a Catholic, do I interpret this news? And we thought that there was a story on Catholic News Service of the Vatican and the Pope coming out, or his media representative coming out and saying, hold on, this is not, as Bishop said, he was a cruel person, but still, this was also the murder of somebody. And just really, this was not a cause for rejoicing, but a cause for reflection, I think is how he said it.
Well, we have God's own word from Scripture. I do not rejoice in the death of a sinner.
Because that's one less chance for him to convert.
Exactly. You know?
Well, if I may chime in here, so this does all tie together, just bear with me. Pope Benedict had an address, I think you've probably touched on it earlier, to the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.
Yes, we did.
And it was October of last year. And he talks a bit about new technologies, say television, radio, internet. So he says new technologies, together with the progress they bring, can make the true and the false interchangeable and can lead people to confusing the real with the virtual. Furthermore, coverage of an event, joyful or sad, can be consumed as a spectacle rather than as an opportunity for reflection. And I think that that's really neat, and it reminded me of someone else, Marshall McLuhan, who was a communication theorist and actually converted to the Catholic faith after being introduced to the writings of G.K. Chesterton, which I thought was also very interesting. But he talks, one of the things he's most known for is this term, the medium is the message. And it says that maybe the way that the message is delivered is as important culturally as the message itself. That is to say that the printing press, well, what was printed, everything, namely the Bible was one of the first major publications, but everything was printed, and it changed the way the society worked. From there, everyone had access to the faith, and they had access to the Word of God, which we'll get back to in a second here. But you could consider it kind of like a light bulb. The medium is the message. He considers, a light bulb doesn't have the content of the bulb doesn't affect society, but what does it do? It does change society. It gives where there's darkness, and it's kind of shrouded and unsafe, possibly, and now it brought light. And you think of all the social places that we could gather now. They're social avenues now, rather than, being out in the dark woods. We have lighted city streets, city squares, et cetera, et cetera. So this kind of reminds me of what... And the Pope actually touches on it later in this address, that the fact that the means, that is the medium, and the message coincide. Indeed, the Son of God, the incarnate Word, is at the same time both a message of salvation and the means through which salvation is brought about. And so I'm not saying that we're saving souls with the Catholic paper, but I am saying that I think that we do deliver that unity in a true Christian sense, and I hope that we do bring hope to those that read and some education to everyone that reads, and perhaps a solid integral Catholic perspective on, like we were talking about, the death of Osama bin Laden. Is that something that we should jump up and cheer about? Is that something we need to reflect upon? And what does our faith indicate, like you mentioned, Bishop, scripturally?
The story that we ran in our paper, and obviously none of this is meant to diminish the pain of all those who lost loved ones at 9/11 and in subsequent wars in the Middle East. But it is a matter, it is a greater justice question that the Church tries to raise amid all this. And one of the quotes in the story that we ran, Vatican spokesman says, "In the face of a man's death, a Christian never rejoices but reflects on the serious responsibilities of each person before God and before men, and hopes and works so that every event may be the occasion for the further growth of peace and not of hatred." And that's an opinion that the Herald is offering to the discussion that it might not be getting anywhere else. And that's an example, I think, of where we can help, hopefully, Catholics keep on the radar whenever these things happen. Okay, well, wait, what is... How do I interpret this through my faith?
And, on that same topic, Bill, I heard from really not a few places in the secular media, especially when that kind of message was brought forward, whether it was, you know, on talk radio or whatever. We should be rejoicing. We should be giddy. We should be popping champagne corks because Osama bin Laden has been killed. And when there would be those, so I think more sober and perhaps more Christian thinking would call and say, no, that's not right. So many of these in the secular media would say, well, that's exactly what we did, for instance, in World War II when we learned that Hitler was dead. But I don't think that's true. The rejoicing went on, not when Hitler died, but when the war was over. Mm-hmm. Of course we rejoice when the war is over, when exactly. Peace is established. We did that when the war in Europe was over. We did it when the war with Japan was over. But, I mean, so this is a corrective. I think we are being misinformed in some cases by the secular media.
That's a whole nother discussion, I think, in terms of, because right now I think there's a big crisis in identity in the secular media, because so many of them, the major news sources now, are owned by major corporations who have ties to the government. So that brings all the kinds of questions as to just, can they report certain news even if they want to? I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist at all, but I do think that does raise a lot of questions. And I think that has also sent people looking for alternative media, and I guess in a sense the Catholic Herald is considered alternative media, alternative to the secular press, and our hope is that if they're reading stuff and they're not quite sure, if something just doesn't seem right, you know, if they're a Catholic reading this, hopefully they'll want to say, okay, well, what does the Catholic Herald have to say about this, and they can turn to our paper, and we can hopefully help point them in the right direction.
And Bill, I think you touched on something interesting when you talk about the objectivity, in a sense, of some of the other publications. And what are your ties? What are your who's the ownership? And this kind of thing. Are you truly getting an objective piece of news? And I do like that the underpinnings of a lot of what's in the Colorado Catholic Herald is based on the objective truth of Christ, of our faith. I mean, that's it, you know, and a lot of what we do is through that lens.
In our editorial policy box that we have on usually on our page 6 of each issue, you don't have to worry about objectivity questions because we state right out there that we are faithful to the magisterium. So you know right away that what you get in the Herald is not going to contradict that.
Right.
And I hate to interrupt both of you, but as sure. I can see by the old clock on the wall that our time is quickly coming to an end. I want to give both of you a chance to make some plugs for the Herald. The Catholic Press Association has bestowed a few awards on our paper, hasn't it, Bill?
Yes, we've been blessed to be acknowledged by our peers in the Catholic Press Association. We usually win one or two awards each year from them. One of the ones we're most proud of is right after we relaunched in 2005, the next convention was 2006. And I guess it was all up in the air as to how the Herald was being received. Well, we won for our circulation category, which is how they judge. We won first place general excellence, which is the highest award that the paper can receive. That right away, that was an affirmation that we were heading in the right direction.
We also have a Herald blog.
We do, at blog.coloradocatholicherald.com.
And a website, which I think is temporarily hospitalized. We had a virus attack on our website, right?
Yeah, it's in long term rehab right now. But we did get hit by a virus late last year, and so we had to kind of self destruct and rebuild it from scratch. And we hope to have that up again very soon. We're working on it right now, and it'll be much more dynamic than we had in the past too. And it'll be a great source to get archived information we have here, as well as archived episodes of Bishop Sheridan Presents. We'll have all those out there. We've now got a pretty good catalog of 30, 40 shows, maybe. So
hard to believe.
Yep. And I think you also wanted to let our listeners know how they could contact the Herald if they'd like to, for whatever reason. I, of course, we always accept letters to the editor.
Yes. You can send comments or letters or story ideas to us at editor@ColoradoCatholicHerald.com. That's editor@ColoradoCatholicHerald.com. You can also call us at 719-866-6492.
And John, any last words?
Absolutely. Got about 30 seconds. Oh, great. I'll cram it all in there. No, I would invite you, if you have any questions, we've got some incredible demographics as far as who we reach. And we've got a vast reach from Leadville to Kansas up into Douglas County, just to north of Pueblo. Like I said, you know, we distribute 30,000 copies of the paper. It goes to families, goes to businesses, goes to individuals. We figure a readership of about 69,000 people. And we've got some great advertisers. We don't look at it as charity. We really want your business to gain a great benefit from advertising in our papers. So.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, John.
And thank you.
As we close today, this being the month of May, I'd invite our listeners to join us here in the studio in praying the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.